Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step 1, download Rocket Money. Step 2, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step 3, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out. A bad seat, a broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad adders, bad tape, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny just drank a couple of big old fingers of JMO and then stole my blue slush when she was hanging out in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh. People dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should be all my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should be shake out, ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight. What's so funny?
I got to tell you, this is just, I'm watching the Yankee game here. I know that it's over. It's been over for a long time, but this is typical. This guy Stanton, he struck out, you know, even though they're winning, they were winning 11-2, you know, weak grounder to first, struck out a couple dimes. Now the game is in doubt, right? It's 11-2 in the ninth inning, and he hits an absolute laser into the left field seats. It's just typical. It's just typical.
He hit the 12th run, a home run.
Yes, he solo homer. He hit a bomb.
Up 11. I care when he hits it. I mean, if he and Judge are hitting home runs, they're winning, right? It's like, if those two hit home runs, how many times do they lose a game when those two guys hit home runs? In the same game, I guarantee you there's like none. They don't lose. If those two both hit a home run, I bet they never lose. I bet people couldn't even find the last time they both hit a home run in a game and they lost. Would you be willing to take that bet?
It's definitely a rare occurrence, that's for sure.
I mean, bottom line, like when the game started and you saw Judge hit a home run on the first pitch to right center all the way out, boom, into the seats in those high seats in Cleveland, you knew this game was over. I mean, it was over. They got to Bieber early. That was it.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Pharrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. Rick Haro coming up in a little bit. And we were talking about the Yankees and Indians. I mean, they beat their ass tonight, and they beat Bieber into submission. I mean, that guy is going to win the Cy Young. He's going to win the Triple Crown in pitching, right? I mean, he led in everything. And basically, I mean, they spit him out like a sunflower seed out of their mouth tonight in Cleveland. I mean, they beat him like a rented mule. That guy will never recover from the beating he took tonight. I couldn't even believe that they left him in for the five runs, right? He just kept giving up runs, and they just left him out there. Like, you know what? This game doesn't matter. What we'll do is we'll win on Wednesday and Thursday. Is that when they're playing three straight days, right? After you saw them get pounded for 12 runs tonight, how can you, in your right mind, bet on the Indians tomorrow?
Yeah, especially if you're going to believe that the Yankee bats are back. And that was the biggest thing. Because I think you know that Tanaka is going to show up tomorrow and he's going to pitch well. Just like Cole pitched well tonight. I think you know that Tanaka is going to bring a strong effort. And if the Yankees are hitting like they did tonight, that was the question. Because let's be fair, they acted like they didn't care for the 60 games. They were sleepwalking the entire time. Guys got hurt here and there. Guys got into slumps. Nobody seemed very interested. And you know what? Did they show up tonight and just all against the best pitcher in the American League this year and say, hey, guys, guess what? It's playoff time. But we're all healthy now. Let's all hit. If that was their plan, they executed it pretty well. And if they're going to hit every night, the rest of the league's going to be in trouble. That's for sure.
What do you think that did to Shane Bieber? My son came downstairs, Gunner, and he said, he looks like Justin Bieber tonight. Like, that's when you know you're finished, when a 15-year-old's making fun of you. I mean, is that guy, he's going to end up, like, he's up all night. I mean, that guy, he couldn't sleep 5 minutes because he's going to see all those gopher balls he threw up there. I mean, they just absolutely teed off on him. We both made fun of Boone starting Gardner. He raked one off the wall.
And he had a homer, too. I mean, listen.
I lost track. I couldn't watch it. The game got so bad. I turned the channel. I watched the two animals go at each other on the presidential.
And he just got another hit. That Gardner's got about four hits tonight. Three hits he's got. But honestly, I don't care how many hits Brett Gardner has tonight. That doesn't mean that the decision was the right one. Frazier deserved to play tonight. I don't care. And Boone looks great. He started Gardner. It worked out. He had a huge night. And everybody hit. They scored 12 runs. They're good. They might actually score more. They got two on here in the ninth. They just keep hitting. Ollie Perez in the game now for the Indians. But
I even do that. Down 12-2. What is the score now?
12-2. Two on, two out for the Yankees here. With Higashioka up.
Here's the question. When he lays in bed tonight, like, let's just get inside his head right now a little bit. So when I play in a championship game and lose, right, because I've lost in a bunch of them and I've won a bunch of them, but when I lose, I got to tell you, like, I have just nightmares about all the things that went wrong. I mean, I lost one night on it. Remember the half court buzzer beater in overtime? We lost on a 50-foot heave in overtime from the scorer's table. The guy threw the ball up in the air and it went in and we lost. And I dreamt about it for like 6 hours, but I was never asleep. I just was wide awake thinking about it. Like, I was pretending I was sleeping and I was in the pitch black in my room and all I saw was that ball flying through the net. So my question to you is, what is Shane Bieber going to do tonight when he goes to bed? Because he's not sleeping, okay? First of all, he is not sleeping. He's going to think about his entire season of greatness. They're going to give him all these awards and everything else. He's going to win every award known to man. And he's going to make all kinds of money. But he couldn't get anyone out. The Yankees made him like he's their B. He's their Moser. Who's your daddy? I mean, they just absolutely destroyed him. I don't care what he does the rest of his career. I'll never forget the night the Yankees lit him up. Like, he was supposed to be the greatest. I thought he would go in and shut them down. Like, I thought their bats would be silent against this guy with all his strikeouts, and no one gets a hit, no one gets a home run, no one gets on base, he doesn't walk anybody. What didn't he do wrong tonight? Tell me what his head's going to be like tonight when he lays on a pill. That guy's not even going to bed. He's going to become an alcoholic. He's going to start drinking stouts right after the game. I mean, honestly.
Look, I know that there was no fans in the stands and things like that, but there is pressure still out there, and it's your first ever postseason start. And I think it would be different, obviously, in a different environment, but there's still pressure to stand out on that mound and know this game means more than any other game that I've ever pitched, and I'm pitching against the New York Yankees, big lineup. And sometimes, you know, your first time at crack at that, it doesn't go very well. And Bieber will get another chance, not this year, but, you know.
Evidently, it doesn't go well. But went well for Cole because he's been there before and done it. You know what he said before the game? He was like, you know, whatever. He's like, I've already been in these games. Like,
exactly.
To me, it's just another big game. Let's go. I've already done all. I've pitched in the World Series. I got a ring.
Yeah. And that's why it's huge that they're going to start to knock. But the Indians also have a guy going tomorrow who has pitched in a lot of playoff games. So, look, it's a blowout tonight. It is what it is. But things can change quickly when you get out there the next day and you get a guy on the mound who maybe shuts down the end. Carrasco could go out there tomorrow and he could pitch great. You know, I mean, these short series can be dictated, change on the dime by who is on the mound with the ball in their hand. And Carrasco is going to, he's got the Indian season on the line tomorrow, because if the Yankees rack him early like they did to Bieber tonight, you could forget about it because Tanaka will lock it down.
What's his deal? Let's be clear here, because I have early for Alzheimer's. He didn't win a ring. He lost to the Nationals, but he's pitched in all those big games. Did he ever win one? Cole. That's a no.
Cole has never won a ring. No, last year he lost to the Nationals with the Astros. He was not on the Astro team in 17 that won. No, he got there the year after.
So he was with the Pirates and then went there, right? All right. So, but he's pitched in World Series games. So he's pitched in all these big games. So I'm right. Like he never won one. He just has been there and done that. He's pitched in all these big games and these big moments and these big playoff games. And as far as I'm concerned, Bieber hasn't. And that was pretty evident tonight. Like I didn't, you know, were you surprised they left him out there as long as they did? Like it was as if they thought when it was 5-2, they were still going to win the game.
I think they thought they were still in the game at 5-2, and you're also in a spot where if you can get another inning or two out of him and save pitches in those arms in the bullpen for the bigger game, you know, you don't want to use everybody tonight, even though you're getting whacked. You want to try to not use your best guys for if you're in a situation tomorrow where you can win that game.
He's not pitching again. That's
no, I'm not talking about him. I'm just saying he can. If you let the thing that he's not going to pitch again until, let's say, if they did win the next two games till Monday. So you let him empty the tank as much as he possibly can tonight, because you have other arms in your bullpen that you need to now save because you might need them the next 2 days if you can win tomorrow. That's why you need to save those bullpen arms.
All right, but wait, do you believe for 1 minute after what you just saw tonight that the Indians are winning this series?
I don't think they're winning the series. No, but I think that could they win tomorrow? I think they could win tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to, but they absolutely could.
What did they have? They had one guy from the Padres that they got in the Clevinger deal, right? He hit the home run tonight.
He's got four hits now, Naylor. He just got his fourth hit of the night.
He's the son of a Naylor. That was my Jimmy Buffett right there. So anyway, the Naylor had their only hits. Like, who is that? Like, I don't even know who that is. So their best players, the only guy that got a hit was their big bat. He drove in the run that made it like it was 3-1 or whatever. And Ramirez, he drove it inside the bag at first, right? What other big hit did they have in the game besides Naylor's? None. So I was watching a game. The announcers said that they score the fewest runs in the American League, but they're not winning.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Pharrell on a bench with you. I think the Indians' plan, and this is just me, no offense to anybody. I'm not trying to be like a D or anything to Cleveland, the city, or their fans, or anything like that. I'm not Mr. Homerized Milk Toast over here for the Yankees, but I'm in Realityville, okay? I think their plan was they knew that they had no bats, right? That they don't score runs. I mean, they score 4 runs a game. That's the lowest in the American League. And I think they believed that they could pitch their way through the Yankees. That I think they believed that Bieber was going to shut them out tonight and that they were going to win the game 1-0, like on that Naylor home run. You know what I mean? That's what their plan was. And you got to remember that Alomar is the manager, right? Tito has not been managing. Carver, that guy hasn't managed the whole summer because he's sick as hell.
Yeah, been a while. It's been a while since he's managed. Now, I heard that he is going to travel with them if they win and go in the bubble, but he's not going to manage. He won't be in the dugout.
But what's the difference? I mean, he's not managing. He's sick. And no offense, I don't want anyone to be sick, but you cannot deny that guy has been sick for the whole summer with something dramatically wrong with him. I mean, he's been going to the Mayo Clinic for 2 months, and there's something wrong with Tito for sure. Like, cause he never managed. So I think that's a real problem. And then what they're doing is Sandy Alomar's running it, and he's just frankly doing nothing. He's just sitting there and he's just doing nothing at all. Like, they looked so lifeless tonight. I don't know who looked worse, the Indians or the Twins. Because when I told you we were on Coast to Coast, I said, look at the dugout right now. They looked like they were at a funeral, like for their mother. Like, it was over. Like, they're done. Put a fork in them, too. They haven't won in 17 playoff games. Do we have Mr. Haro? All right. Rick Haro's our sports business and legal insider. I know he's been watching the baseball all day, and then like an hour and a half ago, he shifted to watch these two animals go at each other in Cleveland on political matters. First of all, Rick, let me ask you, you're a Harvard guy. I know you watched. Was there anything more embarrassing that you've ever seen in your life? Like, I've seen a lot of debates over my 55 years, but that was the most embarrassing thing I've ever watched in my life. It was so insulting to my intelligence, like watching these two animals go at each other and talk over each other and step on each other and then just absolutely fire hose this Chris Wallace. I mean, they might as well have just pulled out a giant elephant snork and sprayed water on Chris Wallace. They did him so bad. That guy, they should make sure he doesn't come back to host anything because he just got literally trampled by a herd of elephants.
Well, let me tell you, I've been watching, obviously, since it started, and I turned the sound down because, well, I just for the last 5 minutes, I wanted to call you, and I wanted to watch the end of this route in Cleveland. But the sound down is almost better because I've been watching the guys trample over each other with their expressions, not just their voices. And, of course, the problem in America today is if you were a pro-Trumper after this debate, you think he did a wonderful job. If you think Biden is your supporter, you're going to find reasons why he came out on top. And I'm not sure anybody comes out on top. I debated in high school and college as a lawyer. And it's kind of hard to know who wins an argument where – you're talking over each other. And you're right about Chris Wallace. It is kind of funny. He's not a pussycat in real life, but he is here today.
Anyway, oh, my God. And the other thing, one thing that I noticed that was crazy was, at one point I was watching, and the guy said, Trump, he said that all of the violence in America, all of it, the protests, all violence is caused by liberals. That's what he said. He said it's the liberals are the reason for all of it. But the guy, that was the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
The problem is you can't listen to these debates and rest on every word or you'll go crazy. That's one of the reasons why you turn the sound down, and then I'm thinking, a debate doesn't really help if you can't listen to it and you turn the sound down. Why don't you just watch wrestling or something? They tried to clear, by the way, the baseball. That's why you have no late game tonight, and that's why the game started at 7. And, of course, this game is a four-hour game because, you know, when you score 12 runs. So that impeded on the debate, but you know, tomorrow it starts at 12, and they have a window that they have a prime time window, which I don't understand because the Dodger game starts at 10. So it's weird. We'll see what happens.
So let me ask you, the Twins lost their 17th straight playoff game. It's the longest losing streak in postseason history of any sport, any team ever. That is so amazing to me. Like when I was watching them today, and it was 1-0, and they were up. I was on Sports Grid doing the show you were on with me, and I said that 1-0 lead's not going to hold any water. They're gonna get tied up here sooner than later. Sure enough, it was 1-1, and then bases loaded. They scored three more, and they beat them 4-1. But when it was when they went up like 2-1, and it was that was it. They walked in the winning run. Then you looked at that dugout. I am telling you, they might as well have rolled out a banner on the dugout top that said, "We are losers." I mean, I have never seen.
Of course, the problem is when you lose 17 straight to the postseason, why does anybody care about the regular season? Because, you know, it's almost kind of like Bengal mania. Remember when the Bengals would win all of those games and then not win in the postseason either? But I have a question. They were going through the consecutive streaks, and the Blackhawks are second with 16. They don't count the play-in series where the Blackhawks beat Edmonton this year. That's not the playoffs. What's that all about?
No, that was a 16-game losing streak that they had in the 70s.
The old-time streak. That's right.
These were
I remember. Sorry, because I was a Blackhawks fan in the 70s, and I don't remember them winning anything.
Okay, so this was not about anything other than what are the longest losing streaks in sports history in the postseason, and the Twins now are the Capitalists.
17,
They have taken over that department. And I mean to tell you, when I saw them today, like, and I'm going to ask you straight out. When you saw the Indians get bent over tonight, spanked and called Charlie, and Shane Bieber, their ace, just get lit up, and when you saw the Twins blow that game today, walk in the winning run, then get lit 4-1, and then, just those two alone, do you give either of those teams a chance tomorrow, the way they look today? I mean, honestly,
You know, you can't bet for them, and you know, Justin Bieber would have done a better job today than Shane Bieber, and the blessing and curse of a 3-game series is that it's almost over after the first game, but we'll see what happens. I like the 16 playoff team format. A lot of people don't, and if we're going to have no major upsets, or at least maybe only one or two, I think it might be around for a while, just like that 22-game format in the NHL. The more teams, all the purists say too many, too many, too many, too many. But now we have two more extra wild card games in the teams in the NFL. And listen, remember what we talked about earlier today about $100 million more of media dollars because of those 12 extra games, and that's $4.5 million dollars of TV money a game, and that's why they're doing it, and there's no reason why not, because the games were fun to watch, even if some of them were one-sided.
Listen, Let's be honest here. I think that I agree with you that the 16 teams is going to be great. I think there's going to be a ton of baseball Wednesday and Thursday. There's eight games both days, 16 teams playing. And I think that it's going to be really exciting. And we have nothing else to, there's no more hockey. And the NBA finals is going to be every other day. And then in 2 weeks, that's going to be over. And then you're going to have college football in between COVID postponements. And now pro football with its own COVID issues. We don't know what the world's happening, like as it turns, like from one day to the next, whether we're going to have sports. So the fact that we have baseball is delicious. And I love it. And postseason baseball is way better than regular season baseball. Every pitch counts, out counts. But you cannot tell me that any of those games today were good. They all sucked. I mean, I'll give you the Astro game was 1-1 and they won 4-1. But the White Sox kicked the A's ass and the Rays won 3-1. And I mean, the Jays had about one hit in the game. And then the Indians tonight, that was a bloodletting. Those weren't good baseball games. Like tomorrow, I think will be great.
That
today
was not
sucked.
A good baseball game, but Giolito was a good baseball game. Giolito was a good baseball pitcher tonight. So not competitive, but a hell of a game.
I'll give you that. It was a hell of a game by him and no one else. I thought the White Sox hit some home runs and that was it. It was over. I thought the White Sox looked good. My point is that in each game, like teams that were allegedly favored or that they were supposed to, you know, do something, the home teams, whatever, they all got their ass beat. So the Rays were the only one that got it done. And they barely did anything. I mean, they literally had one guy hit a 2-run homer. That was it. They couldn't hit either. So Blake Snell did a great job.
Rays 40-20 was good. That, you know, they're clearly in a class above, but there's a bunch at the bottom. And don't tell me the White Sox are seventh seed. I know they lost a few games at the last minute and they're lumped in there, but the White Sox are damn good, man. I mean, don't bet against the White Sox.
So Gerrit Cole, 13 strikeouts, a single game mark now, 13 without a walk. Tom Seaver did it as well in the 73 NLCS game one. So wild card game, 13 Ks tonight. He looked absolutely dominant. When we come back, we'll talk about the tech top five and sports top five. And we'll get into some of that. And we'll talk about tomorrow's games as well. On the Bench. Wow, I just had a massive power surge. I just had like the most massive power surge here. So good luck. Good luck for the rest of the show. I hope we stay on the air here. I have no idea. It must be raging outside. I can't even hear it, but I know we're supposed to get just hella weather here. From this point forward till literally 6 a.m, it's supposed to be hella. So we'll see. I just had a full surge in here. The whole thing went off and back on. So it's definitely teetering. We're on the brink, Ricaro. We're on the brink of power failure and disaster here in New York City. So nothing good is happening as we speak. Let me start with the top tech. Now that the hockey's over, before we forget, I thought it was incredible the job they did to pull it off. I really do. Now, I want to give you Carver High's doom and gloom report. Rick, Carver High has said that he believes hockey will not come back until March because he believes Canada will not open its borders. And he also believes that they cannot survive the NHL without fans in their arenas because they don't have the lucrative TV deals that the other sports have, like the NFL and MLB and NBA. Do you believe that the NHL will be able to get back to business by, let's say, at the latest, January? He says March at the earliest.
I don't think it's going to be normal regular season start. I would hope it's not as late as March. I'm thinking January, right after when the Winter Classic would happen. You know, Gary Bettman wants to play the 82-game schedule. And you're right about the television dollars being less lucrative than the NBA, certainly football or baseball, but the television dollars will be pretty significant when you see the viewership. I think the viewership with avid NFL fans and otherwise, when you see the ratings over the last couple of weeks, better than people expected. And I also think that the travel ban will be significant, but you may have some bubbles. There may be a Canadian bubble, but they've got to play teams from outside of Canada. So you can't just play those six round and round and round. Although, you know, there are contingency plans for doing some things in January that people didn't believe. So I think the bottom line is they're going to play later than most people think, but hopefully not as late as March.
Could they ever, and I'm just throwing this out there off the top of my head, do you think they could ever do like regional bubbles where you would play in one location, let's say, or two in, like, let's say it was New York, and then you would play all the teams like the Flyers, the Capitals, the Penguins, the Islanders, the Rangers, the Devils, the Hurricanes, would, you know, be in that mix, right? And Boston, and then, you know, out west, they'd have one in like Los Angeles, and then all the teams like, you know, Arizona and all those teams, like, you know, Vancouver. Well, let's just leave Canada out of it for the time being, just not disrespectfully, but just in this moment, like all the teams in the West that would be able to play in one location, let's say in the South and, you know, like Florida and all those teams. Do you think that they could ever pull it off again with regional sites to play games just, you know, continuously? Like if they were to play, let's say the Rangers, Islanders, Devils, and Penguins, and, you know, all this Boston that I mentioned in the East Coast, that they played each other in like a shell for like a month, and then they went to the next location and played all those teams for a month, and then they went to the next location and played all those teams for a month, whether it was Chicago, Detroit, you know, Minnesota, wherever.
That's not unreasonable. And when you think about it, there are differences, but it's the same or similar concept than how baseball structured its as baseball structured its 60 game schedule in the regular season this year. You know, the Midwest teams basically stayed in the Midwest. There was one trip outside of that, but not really. And the East Coast teams, you know, weren't we sick of the Mets playing Philadelphia all those times and Cincinnati playing Cleveland all those times? Well, yeah, but it beats the alternative. So there is some of that. And then, do you have a bubble where you're required to have everybody play in one central location? Well, that's kind of what baseball is leading toward in the ALDS and NLDS and then the CSs. And, you know, you're playing in Southern Cal and San Diego and Houston. So everybody's learning from everybody else. And the NHL is always coming up with some really cool ideas. That 22-game play-in format in two bubbles was really good, and there's no reason why you couldn't extend it. But a lot of it is going to be determined by the unknown. We're going to know a lot more. I mean, we always say this. We said this in March. We said it in June. We're going to know a lot more in 2 months than we know now relative to what happens in 2021.
So Madden has a bunch of new sponsors for their NFL 21. They have, along with Pizza Hut, they got a bunch of other Snickers, Oakley, Gillette, Campbell's Chunky. That's big business, isn't it?
It's big business, especially now when nobody can go to the games. And it's the biggest product year in the history of the franchise. And they're getting even bigger. The brand partnerships are also dipping into the opportunity of competitive gaming. So, you know, we've got the championship series of Madden NFL 20 and 2021. But we also got the ability to have gaming involved in it as well. That's why Pizza Hut, as you said, Oakley, Gillette, Snickers, all those big-time sponsors are spending big money to be aligned with it where you wouldn't have thought so a few years ago.
So tell me about the Champ Sports photo sharing reality shoe fitting via Snapchat. What's that about?
Well, yeah, it's the first retailer to offer virtual try-ons of sneakers during new technology in Snapchat. I've tried to fit my foot into the computer on many occasions and have not been successful with it, but in all seriousness, 8% increase in quote-unquote virtual try-ons. You try it on, they send it to you. You don't like it, you send it back. It's inefficient, but it sure beats not buying stuff. And remember, we talked earlier today about Nike experiencing record earnings. Why? Because people are buying stuff at home, whether it's equipment, whether it's sneakers, anything to do with sports.
So tell me about Mercedes-Benz getting in bed with this League of Legends World Championships. That's kind of crazy when I think about it.
Well, it's crazy because Mercedes-Benz you know, has been a luxury automaker, and they end up naming high-end arenas like Atlanta and like New Orleans in golf tournaments. But they're now a partner for Worlds 2020, the All-Star Weekend, the Mid-Season Invitational, and they recognize investing in esports is a way to court its next generation of consumers. So, you know, they may not be high-end now, but they're going to be high-end in 10, 15 years. And if you get these folks interested in buying Mercedes stuff when they can afford it, you know they're going to do it.
So the Good Sports Vibe, Wasserman's The Collective, is this gigantic women's sport think tank. That's a big event.
It's a cool thing. You know, Casey Wasserman and his group are one of the biggest marketing companies in the world, the first of its kind initiative to include women leadership, media companies, academic institutions, and it'll conduct research and share insights into issues surrounding gender parity and diversity. And everybody talks about it, but this is actually an organization that's going to do very concrete things to promote women in sports, and that's a good thing.
How about the professional bull riders, the rodeo, the PBR rodeo? They're going to have it on an aircraft carrier December 5th. How about that?
It's hard enough to be, you know, on a bull for 8 seconds on land, but on a carrier, it's going to be kind of interesting. They're going to be hauling 300 tons of dirt and steel, 15 miles of copper on the ship to support the event. Proceeds from the event donated to Operation Homefront, the organization that provides financial support and housing and other resources to U.S. military families. But the whole idea, remember when, about 7 years ago, the college football season was opened up on an aircraft carrier. They said they didn't want to do it again. It was kind of hard to shoot. But anytime you have a very unique venue, it's a good thing, and this is a good thing.
So how about that Vin Scully auction? It made like $2 million.
And frankly, he deserves it. So, you know, it was a big event that was supposed to be during the All-Star game in L.A. that was COVID-ed out. Kirk Gibson, Clayton Kershaw, others directly involved. The $2 million was great, but it was also an auction to kind of pay homage to Vin Scully, which is long overdue as well.
How about the Dr. Pepper? They do the Fanville, but they're also really involved in tuition giveaways, which is even more important.
Yeah, well, it's important, you know, that stuff where they throw the ball through the holes at halftime and everybody kind of thinks it's hokey. Well, it might be hokey, but they've upped the tuition giveaway program to $2 million, which is a significant increase over the last one. And they're spending the money with their fans and their families, and they're trying to get more attention by giving away more money. Again, really good.
Converse is doing a thing with youth, spending $1 million to do initiatives for kids.
Yeah, and they got a Harvard Student Council campaign, which is great, to try to inspire change. They're having captains who will suggest some ideas about how they will plug into the youth culture. You know, Converse was known for its popular Chuck Taylor All-Star sneakers from way, way, way back when. They're trying to reinvigorate the brand, Converse, owned by Nike, but they're trying to find their niche here, which is also great.
Carver High wears Chucks.
I don't know. Listen, I don't know if there are. You don't, do you? Do you wear?
Wear? I've had Chucks before. I've certainly had a few pairs of Chucks, but Carver High has taken Chucks to a whole new level. Like, he's got like 15 pairs of Chucks. Like, he busts out different colors for different events. Tell him, Carver High.
The mall. I've got tons of different pairs for every different suit jacket I've got. I've got the whole line, Rick.
And the suit jackets match, so you have lime green suit jackets that match lime green shoes?
Yes.
Lime green,
yeah, ask Scotty, I do.
He's got orange,
wow.
He's got American
You must have a very lonely weekend.
No, he's very popular, actually, when he goes out in Vegas with all of his
I think that's really good, man, and kudos to you. I hear that there is a... there's a new set of talent that you're doing a whole lot more stuff at Sports Grid. So very well done. Congratulations.
So here's the deal, just so you know, like You asked me what shoes I wear. So I actually collect basically basketball shoes, right? And so I'm like your boy PJ Tucker over here. I got so many pairs of basketball shoes. I got 75 pairs of basketball shoes right now as we speak. So believe me, you've seen me even golfing in bizarre, wild Dwayne Wade's. I've worn my multicolored Air Booms. I got the greatest shoe collection ever. I mean, honestly, like, yeah, I don't even wear golf cleats. Who needs golf cleats when you got the $300 basketball shoes I have?
I know. Well, there's certainly one thing that you can't accuse Scott Farrell of doing, and that's not attracting attention. So that's a good thing.
It's true. So we're golfing on the 12th of October in the cold?
Yes, sir, in the cold. I understand the cold front's coming through. I'm heading up, going up to Maine in 30-degree weather, doing a little bit of speaking, got some meetings. And I will see you that morning. We got two Mondays from now, right, and we'll do it early. And then I've got some really good Sports Grid related stuff too. So that's all good.
So I have one last story to tell you really quick. How much time do I have, Carver High? Okay, so our buddy Dr. Chow, who does ProFootballDoc.com, and he does all of our injury stuff on Sports Grid. He's a Harvard guy too. He went to Harvard Medical School, so that's where he got all of his genius. Oh, and then now he's operating on everyone and making all kinds of money, and then he's on Sports Grid giving everybody medical advice. That's our boy from Harvard over there. We're trying to get you two together in a fist fight, like Harvard. I'm going to bet on Haro over Dr. Chow. All right, Rick, great stuff. I'll see you next week on the bench. All right, so the Yankees won 12-3, Astros 4-1, White Sox 4-1, Rays 3-1. How about the Jays, A's, and Twins all scoring one run. And the Indians scored three runs. And the Yankees scored more than everyone combined. Basically, I mean, didn't they? I mean, the winners, at least. They scored more than the other three teams that won. They scored 11. The Yankees scored 12. I mean, so, the Yankees lit it up.
Out of all these teams that didn't score any runs today, right? They're all got their backs against the walls tomorrow. Out of all of them, because they're not all going to get swept. One or two of these teams is going to force a game three on Thursday. Who do you? I think I'd give the A's the best shot of forcing the third game. The A's, and honestly, I think the Jays also with Ryu on the mound. I think the Twins are finished. I think the Astros are going to sweep them tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm with you, and
news, like you said, the Indians are in big trouble too.
Yeah, I think
The A's have the best chance because Bassett's been really good this year. Bassett's pitched well.
I couldn't even believe the guy they started today.
Yeah,
I just thought he was
especially
terrible.
when the Sox were 14-0 against left-handed starters, and he starts the lefty in game one. I mean,
Lozado, is that his name?
Yeah, Lozado.
He got lit up. I don't know. It's a great question because I actually think the Rays are going down. I think the Twins are going down. And after what I saw tonight, the Indians are going down. I think they're going down. I mean, that's it. Like, so you're going to tell me they scored 12 runs today and tomorrow they're going to score one or two runs? How is that possible? Like, I mean, why even go to batting practice? Just go out and start swinging.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.